This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm imagining by the end of this week, we'll have a clearer picture as to who the Giants are going to hire as their head coach. Everything is trending towards Brian Daboll, and I don't like it. It just seems like the hot coordinator name that is riding the back of a great quarterback that is going to get a job, and then all of a sudden we find out that he's not head coach material. Now, there really hasn't been an impressive list of names out there that the Giants are interviewing that you feel like are great. I mean, it's like everybody else. Dan Quinn's name is in there, and Brian Flores' name is in there. And when Brian Flores, the second he got fired, everybody was all over it. Gotta have Flores, and I'm one of them. I was hoping my team would hire him. But it sort of cooled a little bit. It's almost as if the people there in Miami that made that decision were leaking the information because they were getting killed so much for firing Brian Flores. And everybody's like, why the hell would you do that? What type of mistake are you making in doing this? That it's almost like the information like came out because it was like, hey, wait a second, don't blame us. He did this, and this wrong. Now, I don't know what the truth is, but if you're telling me that I have a choice between Brian Flores or Brian Daboll, then I am taking Brian Flores. I am, because I've seen him be a head coach. I've seen him overcome adversity, and I've seen him get the job done to a certain degree, whereas Brian Daboll doesn't have any of that head coach experience in his background and has plenty of failed coordinator experience before he fell or Josh Allen fell into his lap.
You know, listen, you still have choices of so many other people as well. I mean, Dan Quinn's still out there. I can't see Todd Bowles coming here again.
No.
There's still a bunch of guys. Doug Peterson's out there, although I wonder about that because of what happened at the end of his run in Philadelphia when it essentially kept the Giants out of the playoffs by wanting to take a look at Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah, give Nate a look. Yeah, remember that whole deal?
Yes, that was kind of a weird deal. But, you know, it's this is why you hire your general manager. Your new general manager has got to make this hire. He's the one that has got to make the recommendation to ownership, and he's the one that this has got to be on. And maybe he's most comfortable with Brian Daboll because of his time up there and watched Brian Daboll coach and watched him put all this stuff together. But I've told you many times, when a new guy gets the head coaching job, he is stunned by the amount of crap that he has to put up with prior to actually getting onto the field and coaching the players and meeting the players. There is so much that has to be put into place, and he is the guy that now is running that ship. And for guys who have never done it before, it is overwhelming. There is no question about that.
And what's going on with Sean Payton? So at this point, he has not committed to coming back next year. The team is in a rough cap situation. Obviously, he spent a year without Drew Brees, and it was a little bit of a grind for him. I mean, it's not like he's going to make himself available to go somewhere else. If anything, it seems like he would want to take at least a year off.
Or go to TV.
Yes. And you hear all these rumblings about how there are multiple networks that are interested in bringing Sean Payton aboard. And he's probably thinking, that's a way I could stay close to the game. I can get paid a significant amount of money and I could have less stress.
And he could live the life that Bill Cowher's living. Here's the thing. I think all of this has changed because of Tony Romo and Tony Romo's contract. And Troy Aikman's out there now. Chris Collinsworth's out there. You know, I don't necessarily know that Drew Brees has separated himself from getting ready to go into the big booth yet.
No.
And I'm telling you, with Amazon and Fox and NBC and everything else that's going on, he could be one of those guys where, you know, the TV executive said, hey, you know, we'll give you $10 million a year for 5 years. And, you know, for a guy like him, I mean, that would be like paradise.
Sure. Of course, at that type of money.
You know, because the other thing, too, is, and Coach Cower has told me this a million times, you know, you have to be all in to be a coach. I mean, you have every single day is something. And it's 365 days a year. Now, obviously, when you're in season, it's a little bit more ramped up and there's a lot more pressure. And that's why they actually have 16-hour days, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still in the off season, you're always worrying about your roster, salary cap, players, where are they coming from, your coaching staff, what are they doing? I mean, it's a huge job. That's why I think I understand what you're saying, that you have a novice general manager that's never done this before.
Yep.
And now you're going to bring in an offensive coordinator, if in fact it is Brian Daboll, and you have two guys going at it from a position of, you know, basically rookies.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, and, you know, the Jets sort of went through a similar situation. I mean, you know, Joe Douglas, it was not his first year, but he hadn't been a general manager before, and they brought in, you know, an inexperienced coaching staff and a rookie quarterback, and you saw how bad they were in the beginning of the season. They were totally overwhelmed.
I just remember, his whole coaching staff itself was new.
I mean, I just, we talk, this is what I don't understand about, you know, Giants fans. I saw a poll, too, about, you know, who would you rather have, Brian Daboll or Brian Flores, one of the Giant beat reporters, and there were so many people who had voted for, I think Daboll won by 70% to 30% or something like that, and I'm like, what I don't understand about a Giants fan that is in love with Brian Daboll is all you heard from them after this season ended was how much of a mess the team was from top to bottom, and there's incestuous this, and then there's a problem here, and the draft picks, and the roster stinks, and the quarterback, and the coach, and clean house, and everything else. I mean, the organization is in one of the worst spots possible that you could be in the NFL. They really are. The Steelers, I think, are in a bad spot. The Saints, I think, are in a bad spot. And the Giants are right there in quite possibly the worst spot out of anybody. Now, they've got two top 10 picks, so that mitigates it a little bit. But your answer to changing that is Brian Daboll and keeping Daniel Jones? What? Like, it makes zero sense to me. I don't understand why you can go from, and any Giant fan that's happy with that hire could go from, our organization is in desperate need of someone to come here and clean it up, and then land on that guy. I don't know. It's shocking to me, actually. But everybody gets intoxicated with, ooh, I watched Josh Allen carve up the Patriots. Ooh, I watched Josh Allen do what he did against the Kansas City Chiefs, even in a loss. That's the guy we need. The man's a genius play caller. He's a genius play caller. No, he's not. He's a jockey, is what he is. And he climbed on the back of Josh Allen, and he rode himself to the Kentucky Derby win.
He doesn't look like a jockey.
Well, yeah, well, physically, sure.
Yeah, no.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy climbed on Secretariat.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
He did. That's right. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, you have Eric Bieniemy still out there, and he's been on, you know, with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think
that name is completely like...
No, yeah, it was like, hire Eric Bieniemy or the world's going to implode the last couple of years, and now he's not even a factor. How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe bad interviews. I'm not sure.
I mean, nobody talks about him anymore.
You know, I would love... Man, I would just love to sit in on one of these coaching interviews to see what these guys are asking and what the answers are. I mean, I'd love to. I mean, just to sit in there and hear it, because, you know, it's that guy standing on a sideline on Sunday that makes those decisions that ultimately wins or loses you games, and then has to explain it to the fans afterwards. And that's a big part of it. I don't care what anybody says. It is a huge part of standing up in front of the media and talking to your fan base. And, you know, Joe Judge did a good job that first year. He really did. And I think he made everybody feel really comfortable about that.
I know. We want to talk about a complete and utter fall off a building. I mean, that Joe Judge second year, I mean, it was sort of like Ben McAdoo, too. I mean, that team went to the playoffs a year before.
That's right. And then all of a sudden, something happened. You know, we all know what happened. I mean, he wanted to get rid of Eli Manning, and he wanted to draft Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
And the loyalty that the Giants had to Eli because of those two Super Bowls, while it's laudable, and it's certainly, you know, from a player's standpoint, it's great. But reality is it set the franchise back. And I would say the same thing about the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger.
Let's go to Mike in Belmar. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Gio, I love you. Sometimes, though, you can just go nuts on something like this Daboll thing without, I don't know. Do you have all the knowledge about what
did
what
you Daboll listen to was? My open when I went through every stop he had and all the quarterbacks that he had, and all of a sudden we're forgetting the fact that he was the offensive coordinator in Cleveland with two crap quarterbacks, the offensive coordinator in Miami with two crap quarterbacks, the offensive coordinator in Kansas City with a crap quarterback, and now all of a sudden because he's got Josh Allen, he's the hot coaching candidate? I mean, give me a break.
All right, let me run through this real quick because, I'm with you. I would take Flores with the experience over Daboll. But I do have a good feeling about Daboll because this is a guy who, from the beginning, he busted his butt and like kept sending letters to get on as a grad assistant under Saban at Michigan State. Then he went to Parcells, must have had a great recommendation from Saban, went to Parcells. Then he went, Mangini took him to the Jets. I mean, yeah, we know what Mangini was, but he trusted this guy enough to take him to the Jets as a quarterback coach, then take him to the Browns as offense coordinator. When he gets fired, we have Tony Sperano likes him enough to take him to try to save his job. Then Crennel tries to save his job, bring him in there. Like, he had a lot of respect.
Then all right, so then I'll give you the – okay, so then Andy Reid came in 2013 after that 2012 year, cleaned house, and Brian Daboll didn't stay there. I guess he didn't write enough letters to get Andy Reid's attention. Like, I mean, this is what I'm talking about is, like, you could find – if you want Brian Daboll to be the head coach, you can come up with all sorts of stuff like Tony Sperano felt good enough about him to keep him around. That's not enough for me to clean up the Giants' mess. I'm sorry.
The point is a lot of these coordinators miss. I 100% agree with you. But there's a lot of those coordinators that hit that cleaned up these teams that are now among the teams that are the best in the league. The 49ers and the Rams are two of them in the championship game this weekend. Zach Taylor in the championship. I mean, these are guys that they took a chance on and they panned out. There's tons that don't, but sometimes you're going to take a chance. And, you know, Daboll could look great. And then you have egg on your face for saying he's just...
Maybe, and it wouldn't be the first time I was wrong. But, I mean, I don't know how you could go from the disaster that the Giants are and then just be that confident in hiring a guy who's never had a head coaching job before and has basically been bounced around in the NFL incest dryer for the last 15 years.
I did used to take a bath with my sister.
You know what I'm... Like, that's where I'm... I mean... Now, if he ends up being the guy and being great and he goes in and blows the Maras away with an interview and ends up being a great head coach, then fine. I just don't know how you could be confident sitting here today.
I think Joe's also reacting to, like, the news out there that this is the guy that you got to go and get.
Yeah, like, that's exactly. Boomer's right. Like, when I see headlines this morning and an article written, like you have to hire Brian Daboll. That's the thing that is just, like, blows me away as if he were Sean Payton.
I agree with that because here's the other part of it, and I do have a good feeling about Daboll, but nobody knows. The biggest part of a head coach is leadership, and Flores has shown that he can lead men. He showed that he could coach, and Daboll, that's the biggest question mark with these coordinators. How are they going to be when they have to lead the men?
And that's right. Well, how are they when they have to make decisions on the sideline, like with 13 seconds left to go in the game? How do we keep Patrick Mahomes from leading his team to kick the game-tying field goal?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? What is our decision-making, and how is it happening?
Yeah.
You know, like, I wonder, and I don't know, you know, I don't know, but I really wonder, like, Sean McDermott's standing there. They score a touchdown. They take the lead by 3 points. And I would think that his special teams coach is going to come to him and say, okay, coach, what do you want to do? Do you want to kick it off so they can return it and we can eat some clock up? Do you want to kick it through the end zone? Do you want to squib kick it? And I'm thinking that that's the special teams coach's job.
Sure.
Is to think ahead and then come to the coach and say to him, what do you want to do? And then the coach says to the special teams coach, kick it off through the end zone and we'll start on the 25. I mean, I'm assuming that that type of communication is happening on the field. But the point being is that if you are a head coach and you've never been a head coach, these are the types of things that you have to get ready for. You have to think ahead and you have to have every situation down. And I've often told people this, that Sam Weish and Pete Carroll were two coaches that were incredible in dealing with situational football on the practice field. How much time is left? How many timeouts do you have? Where do we have to get to if we need a field goal? Well, how many seconds does it take to run a play, depending on how far the play is? Is it a run play? Is it a pass play? I mean, these are all the mental gymnastics that all these coaches have to go through. And I would love to know if Sean McDermott was asked a question by his special teams coach, what do you want to do, coach? And then what his answer was.
I mean, he really didn't say a lot when asked about that whole situation. He was just basically giving you it was an execution issue, it was an execution issue. Like, that's the stuff he was
on
talking
defense.
About. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
yeah,
nobody ever really...
the kickoff or anything.
No, I'd love to get those answers, too. But, like, this, like that was a good call, and I appreciated that caller having information, looking into it, and looking into Daboll and all that stuff. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, once you start getting excited about a guy, like, some of the things that he was throwing out there are just comical to me. Like, he wrote a bunch of letters to Nick Saban when he was at Michigan State. Tony Sparano thought enough of him to keep him around. Like, what does that mean? Like, honestly.
It just means that he's committed, that's all. That he really loves the game and that he's committed. And like, you know, when these coaches hire coaches, especially young coaches, they make them graduate assistants.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Sherman, you remember Mike Sherman?
Of course Mike Sherman.
Right. So Mike Sherman was the head coach at Texas A&M.
Packers.
Right. So he hires his son-in-law, Zach Taylor, to be a graduate assistant for 4 years at Texas A&M to see if that kid is going to turn into being, you know, one of these homegrown, all-in coach lunatics. And it turned out that that's what he became.
Yeah, and credit to Zach Taylor for having that team in the AFC Championship game, but this is another instance of Zach Taylor got Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was built differently. The guy is a champion. You can tell. We knew it from the second that he was smoking that cigar in the locker room after winning the national championship game. It's just another one of those things. And if Joe Burrow busted his knee up as bad as Teddy Bridgewater did and came back a different guy, Zach Taylor's ass would be out on the street. Like, I'm sorry. The quarterback has never been more important in the history of the sport than it is right now. And if you have the guy...
I wasn't important?
I'm not saying you weren't. It's more important now than it was.
Okay.
I mean, and even you could probably agree to that. I mean, it's just the way that the rule changes are, the way that the ball goes down the field, the wide receivers, the offenses. I mean, it's just if you don't have a quarterback, you got no shot. You really don't. So, I mean, and that's why it would be really interesting to see. I mean, that's why Sean McVay jettisoned Jared Goff, even though he got him to a Super Bowl because it needed to be better. That's why the 49ers, even though they're back here with Jimmy Garoppolo, were desperate to try to get an upgrade there, that they used a pick on Trey Lance. I mean, this is why all these things happen, because they know, and these coaches know, that if you don't have a quarterback, your shelf life is only so long.
And that's why I would think that the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Minnesota Vikings, you know, from the standpoint of having, you know, at least guys that look like they can do it. Well, we all know what Kirk Cousins is, but you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, I would want to go there to coach. And you know what? Go to coach in Jacksonville compared to coaching here.
Although the seat was pretty hot there for Urban Meyer,
well,
all the stuff
Meyer
that he did.
Made the seat hot, and he himself has himself, he only has himself to blame.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
So you guys remember back in 2019 AFC Championship game, New England at Kansas City. New England wins the overtime coin toss, takes the ball right down the field, and Patrick Mahomes never gets the football. Kind of like what happened this week with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, right?
Yeah.
So after that, the Chiefs proposed an amendment to the overtime rule at the league meetings in 2009. And the suggestion from the Chiefs was this: to allow both teams the opportunity to possess the ball at least one time in overtime, even if the first team to possess the ball in overtime scores a touchdown, like what happened. Number two, eliminate overtime for preseason. Of course, that makes sense. And eliminate overtime coin toss so that the winner of the initial coin toss to begin the game may choose whether to kick or receive or which goal to defend. And, of course, that was brought up to Andy Reid after the game. And Andy Reid this year said, you know, I'm glad we didn't change it as of last night. But in true Andy Reid spirit, he did say he would not oppose the change, saying to make things equal, it probably needs to be able to hit both offenses and both defenses.
And they benefited from a non-rule change on Sunday.
A non-rule change that they tried to actually have changed.
Now, I don't want this to be any sort of indictment on our friend Sal, who I've known for a very long time, but I had to switch off his show this morning when a caller suggested that they flip the coin 2 out of 3. That was when I had enough.
We're going to do shit. He doesn't want this smoke.
Yeah. It was, yeah, right, the old rock, paper, scissors next. Rock, paper, scissors. Huh. It's like, let's. But Sal, let's do 2 out of 3. At least be a little more fair than just one coin flip.
It is fair. It really is. So that people are coming up with some stupid suggestions.
It really is. Just...
So did Sal slap him down or?
No, he laughed, actually.
Oh, okay.
He laughed. He goes, 2 out of 3. Like, what are you talking about?
But I think Andy Reid does have a point that, yeah, you know, maybe it should touch both offenses and defenses. Everybody should be able to actually have a little skin in the game in overtime, wouldn't
but
you say?
Why? I don't think so. I really don't. Really? I think what they've done has made it as fair as it needs to be.
Now, I know, you know, the other side of it is, let's say Patrick Mahomes drops back. Let's say Mario Addison sacks him, causes a fumble, and the Bills pick it up and score that way. The game's over then, too.
Sure is.
I did think it wasn't fair when a team could win a coin toss, then have a decent kickoff return and two pass plays, and then all of a
and
sudden
they've amended that.
Kick a field goal. Now I don't feel like it's unfair.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Game goes to the fourth quarter, tied 14-14. Start of the fourth quarter, first play of the drive from the 2-yard line. And that team, and I know it's unheard of, but that team goes 17 plays, 14 minutes and 54 seconds off the clock and kicks a field goal. Is that
game
fair
over
that the other team didn't get a chance
well,
to respond?
Well, it's 4 quarters, though.
Okay, so now
it's
you have 4 quarters to win.
It's in the body of the regular game, yes.
Fine, you had 4 quarters to win, you didn't.
Yeah.
The other team gets the ball.
Yeah.
Don't let them in the end zone. And you'll get the ball. Like, it's not like, I'm with G in the way the kicker's legs are so strong now. It got to a point where it was stupid. You win the coin toss. All you got to do is get to the 45-yard line. You got a
shot.
That
was during my era. Yes.
Right. It's not, that's not the case anymore. Don't give them the end zone.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, people are acting as if the only quarter in the game is the overtime period, and it's not fair because the Bills didn't get a chance to touch the ball. They played an entire football game.
And blew it with 13 seconds left.
An entire football game was played. It's not like they were like, here's the divisional round. It's the Chiefs get the ball, and if they score a touchdown, they win. I mean, it was 4 hours of football.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we just wanted more football. We wanted to see more Josh Allen. That's all.
Sure. Okay. But, I mean, I don't know. enough of this. I don't want to turn it to the people are start calling up, and then Al's going to start stabbing his eyeballs out with his pen. So we're not taking any more overtime phone calls. No more rule change phone calls. All right, Jerry, what's happening?
We're powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. And we're brought to you by the Progressive New York Boat Show. Visit NewYorkBoatShow.com. And, yeah, we'll start with the football again. The Giants will continue their interviews, as we know. We also heard from Tom Brady yesterday on his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. This was now, 24 hours later, reflecting on the loss to the Rams on Sunday in Tampa.
As difficult as it was to lose the game yesterday, I was glad I played in it, and I was glad I was a part of it. And as challenging as the season was, I was glad I played and glad I participated, because I'm living my life.
And he understands the harsh reality of life.
You think you're going to live forever? We're not.
Nope.
It's kind of just like you, Jerry. He is so much like you, it's not even funny.
I enjoyed this side of Tom Brady. he was saying there's really no timetable for when he's going to make his decision. He's going to take his time on it. He was asked by Jim Gray if he comes back, does he want the farewell tour if, in fact, this is his last year coming up at 45?
I think that would be distracting for me. I'm really ultimate, my enjoyment comes from not a recognition of kind of what I've accomplished as a player in the league. My enjoyment comes from the competition.
Yeah, he's the anti-Al. Yeah. He doesn't want recognition or praise.
Sure he doesn't. Come on, everybody wants that stuff.
He doesn't want credit, he said.
I'm just impressed with the audio quality, seeing that this was recorded inside Tom Brady's ass where Jim Gray's been living for the last 15 years.
Well, I suppose. And there was one here. I wasn't going to play it, but this one made your skin crawl a little bit as the two of them. They're clearly very comfortable with one another.
Sports person of the year?
No, so this was in reference to him getting the penalty for the personal foul.
Sports person of the year? Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Not yesterday, I wasn't. At least in his mind, I wasn't.
I guess that's the circle of life.
Oh.
My God. Hakuna Matata?
Oh. I guess. Where's Simba when you need him?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. That was the most awkward,
a little cringeworthy
15 seconds of audio you've ever played. They're just going back and forth with Lion King references that have nothing to do with one another. Circle of Life, Hakuna Matata, Simba.
Because you got a penalty.
Rafiki, Usafa. All right, somebody please help us.
That was so terrible. I think awkwardly he then just started reading an advertisement at that point because they came to a screeching halt, as you can imagine. All right, so we don't know what he's doing. We also don't know what Sean Payton is doing going forward, and neither does Saints owner Gail Benson. We'll see if he returns to the sidelines as head coach next year. We also heard from Josh Allen yesterday. He was back in the facility. Short time after losing in Kansas City in overtime, he says, yeah, really difficult to lose, but we have to move on quickly.
But at the end of the day, it wasn't meant to be, and we'll use this as knowledge as we go forward and use this as experience and let this fuel the fire.
I grabbed this clip quickly before I came in. Next hour, I'll bring you the question. You want to talk about a suck-up job.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Yes, it was buttering him up. To get him to respond. So, yes, that was that. And then the Bills season has come to an end. Now, last hour, we played Mike Breen and the final shot that the Knicks got off that went awry from about 35, 40 feet out. Julius Randle missing. Here's how it sounded in Cleveland as the Cavaliers keep on winning with this win over the Knicks, 95-93. They're now 10 games over 500.
Burks looking. Got it out to Randle. Randle, desperation shot. Way short. That is the ball game. Cavaliers win.
Yes, they do. Radio.
Did you see? You see the Knicks where everybody was on the court.
Yeah, it was
spread out.
Clear it out for Randle. Clear it out for your star.
Wait,
your star the ball and do your work.
I think you got 1.5 seconds to go. You got to come up with some sort of pick, play, pop somebody open, as opposed to giving it to your supposed best player. What 20? 30 feet
and
away.
And defended.
That was almost half. He almost took a half court shot.
I'd say he's almost 40 feet out.
They drew up that play like he was Kobe Bryant. That's what they did. It's and he's not clearly even close. And it's almost as if, you know, get him the ball like he's Steph Curry and he'll make something special happen.
Did they actually have a whiteboard at the bench and where they drew a play up? And
no.
They didn't
the guys aren't paying attention even if they do. You ever watch those huddles?
No.
Tibbs is just the coach is there like this and the players.
Tibbs is just spitting into that mask of his. Nobody's paying attention. Throw Randall a ball, heave it up, game over.
Here he was, says credit Cleveland at the end with that.
They did a good job of taking the corner away, and there's three options on that play, and Julius ended up with a tough shot there, but that's, you know, the credit to their defense.
Okay. Three options. Well, I mean, everybody else was standing around. Talking about those are the three options.
Was that Barrett in the right corner?
You could not put four guys farther away from each other.
I'll tell you what the three options were. Make, miss, foul. Those were the three options. But the ball was going to Julius Randle.
Half court.
Hey. It seems to be about right. Anyhow, Knicks are off tonight. The Nets take on the Lakers. We'll have it on the Fan at 7:30. And we heard from John Minko last time with St. John's. Why not again?
Mathis, 14 seconds to shoot. High post to Posh. Loops it baseline. Out of the corner. Wheeler for three. It's good. Aaron Wheeler hits the three-point shot. Wheeler has 17, and St. John's ahead 82-55.
Yeah, led by as much as 20.
Make a huge deposit in the Family Fun Bank.
Led by as much as 27, wind up winning by 21, 84-63. John Minko on St. John's Learfield Radio. So a good night for the Johnnies in Jersey. Tonight, Rutgers is home for Maryland. All right, we get to some of the baseball. The Players Association and the league will meet again today. Supposedly some positive developments yesterday. Don't know how positive, but certainly better than them meeting for 10 minutes and walking away from each other. So they'll talk again today. Buck Showalter and Billy Epler did a media session with the reporters yesterday over a Zoom conference. And in this case here, they were talking about Zoom and Buck's ability to use it. And at one point, it really did sound like two old guys with technology.
He actually learned how to, you? I don't know.
I got my daughter. You put it behind you.
You can blur the screen behind him.
You know, some things I don't want the whole world to see.
Yeah.
What is that called?
I don't know.
Oh my God. This is in the middle of a press conference.
Jesus.
And then Buck made reference. He was trying to have fun with everybody. How Epler entertains the staff walking around the building.
It's obvious that Billy can juggle a lot of balls. He's very good at it.
So they hired a clown.
Come on. I feel like Brody was probably a good juggler, too. Can't you see him like walking around?
I could.
Juggling bowling pins. Look at this. Look at me.
I could see
they
that.
Will not drop. Throw me another one. Light them on fire.
Rangers beat the Kings in a shootout 3-2. Adam Fox, the deciding goal. Chris Kreider, a power play goal. And Igor Shesterkin made 34 saves. Devils stars tonight. And the Islanders back in action as they take on Philadelphia.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Coming up next, the latest chapter in the overnight midday beef. Sal Licata and BT. We've got some audio for you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
He doesn't want this smoke.
Up to speed, the two voices you hear are that of Sal Licata and Brandon Tierney.
Big balls.
He doesn't want this smoke.
Sal Licata, our overnight host, Brandon Tierney, half our midday team of Tiki and Tierney. It all started when Tiki and Tierney were having a discussion about Dan Quinn for Giants head coach, and Brandon said that Dan Quinn had great success in Atlanta. That video was posted on the WFAN account. Sal Licata, our overnight host, who happens to be an Atlanta Falcons fan and hates Dan Quinn's guts, saw this video, tweeted, and said, when exactly did Dan Quinn have great success with the Atlanta Falcons? Brandon Tierney did not respond. Sal then on the overnight show called out Brandon and said, hey, you didn't respond. What you said was foolish. And the reason why Brandon didn't respond on Twitter was that he didn't want this smoke, is what he said. He doesn't want this smoke. So right there, we've got a schism. We've got a budding rivalry between the two. Then it continued when we brought it to light and we asked Brandon Tierney to respond. Both Boomer and I went into the studio where Tiki and Tierney were prepping for their show to ask Brandon to respond to Sal. Brandon would not. Said, I'm trying to get a show off the ground here. I will not respond to Sal Licata. This is what you guys do. I don't get involved in stuff like this. And even said something along the lines to us like, hey, I don't know why Sal's got a problem with me. When Sal got the full-time overnight job, I texted him congratulations. To what I basically said to that was, this is nothing to do with any of that. This is a sports argument. Like, Sal wants to have a sports argument with you, and you're refusing to do so.
Small balls.
So it ended on Friday. We have a big playoff weekend. We're talking about that. But Sal did yesterday morning address it on his show. And it all got started when he heard one of these new promos that we play for the shows. You know, where it's like, it's Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. So he heard that, and then that got him going a little bit.
Of Tiki and Tierney 10-2.
I'm not saying that his fastball still 99 miles per hour, but how about being a little thankful for the dynasty? Are you kidding me? That would be like somebody called us up and taking a dump on Joe Torre. I'd say meet me outside at 3:45. I'm gonna beat the crap out of him.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
So Sal hears this.
Okay.
Meet me outside at 3:45 and I'll beat the crap out of him.
And sits on it through a 4-minute break.
So it's 4-minute overnight break. Sal hears this, sits on, and then comes out of the break with this.
Well, that was an interesting promo before the break. Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Apparently, we last signed off the air on Friday morning. I wake up on Friday to like 20 texts and messages. Hey, you got to listen to the morning show and this and that. And what are you going to fight Brandon Tierney? I was like, wow, what's going on here? Waking up at noon all groggy to all those text messages. Look, here's the thing. And I'll say this once, and I'm not going to address it again. I saw what I felt to be a foolish sports take. I called Brandon out on it. I called him out on Twitter on it. He didn't respond. I brought it up on the air. That is it. It is nothing personal. I have no issues with BT. It was an issue with what he said about Dan Quinn, which I found to be factually incorrect. He did not care to debate it, although I guess based on that promo, he wants to fight people outside of Hudson Street 345, but he doesn't respond to my tweet or to me on the air as far as what I said about Dan Quinn. It was not debating anything personally. It's not calling him out, trying to make him look foolish. He said something that I took issue with, and I wanted the right to wrong. That's it. It's a sports debate, and I'm ready to have that debate whenever. He didn't want to have it. That's fine. We move on. But to take it personally and take it way too seriously, you know, that's a little bit of an issue. And to bring up, oh, well, I texted Licata when he got the overnight gig. Yeah, and I texted BT when he got the midday gig. And guess what happened? He never responded back until I saw him probably weeks later, if not a month later, in the studios and said, oh, yeah, yo, I texted you about that. Oh, really? Oh, what's your number again? So don't make it like we're boys and you texted me and you did some great courtesy because I got the overnight gig. I texted you back as well. And I've known Brandon a long time, dating back to 2010 when I first worked with him at the Wheelhouse. It is not personal. Now, you want to take it like that, that's a different story. It was a sports debate where he said something foolish about Dan Quinn. I called him out on it. You can't handle that? I don't know what to tell you, but it's not personal. Never was.
Oh boy.
He did dumb guy voice for Brandon. You know when you go dumb guy voice, that's a sign of disrespect.
That's true. That's
like, don't say something like, ooh. You know when you do dumb guy voice? Like Al does dumb guy voice for the callers. Like a guy's calling up going, oh, we should change the overnight rules.
Phil Simms does that.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. Phil Simms does dumb guy voices. Like, people come up to me in the street and say, it's dangerous on me.
Well, Phil Simms gets mad when other people are questioning on other stations.
Sure.
Quarterbacks that he has supported over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. But what he does is because he doesn't respect those people, he does dumb guy voice.
Right, exactly.
Really? Oh, what's your number again?
Ooh. See, that is definitely.
Oh, really? Oh, what's your number again?
Yeah, he's taking a shot at him without question. You know, the other thing, too, is like Sal and BT could never be here at 3:45 because Sal's never here.
No, that's not true. He's been coming in.
Oh, now he's coming in.
He's been coming in.
I have not seen him.
It's been a few days.
But he did come in a couple times.
He did.
Not?
Twice.
A couple times.
Wednesday, okay. Thursday, then off Friday. You know, Friday. Come on.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why come in on the Friday?
Yeah, I was saying where...
Was it near Monday or Tuesday?
A lot of American companies are going to a four-day work week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like who?
I was just reading it the other day. Four-day work week is a big thing for morale these days.
You know, it would be a big thing for morale, a one-day work week. It would be a big thing for morale.
Is Odyssey one of those?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, most of the staff is not here, so how do you even know
who knows what's working, what's not working.
So, anyway, so there you go. That is the latest with the Sal Licata, Brandon Tierney thing. I mean, and, you know, Sal was basically trying, it was weird because he was half trying to squash the thing, but then half added fuel to the fire there. He was like, that's the end of it. I'm only going to address it once. It's a sports debate. It's nothing personal. But then he went dumb guy voice on him.
Oh, really? Oh, what's your number again?
Oh, yeah. He did a little of that. And he goes, it's an issue that you've taken this personally.
That would annoy me.
You know, if someone did that with your voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Boomer said, this is what happens in an NFL game. I'm a quarterback.
Yeah, it's one thing if they work for another company or another station, but, you know, if they're working on the same station, that would bother me.
Hit you with dumb guy voice?
Yeah.
Like, I heard Boomer in the morning go, oh, I don't know about the overtime rules.
that would upset me. If I were Brandon Tierney, I'd be upset.
He doesn't want any part of it, though. He really does not.
Small balls.
I mean, I don't know if it's a small balls thing, because I don't look at Tierney as a small ball guy.
He's a brass ball guy.
He seems to be.
Could be like he feels, this is me saying this, maybe he feels Sal's just so far beneath him, it's not even worth it.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a little bit of that.
Coke, Pepsi type of thing?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Not
exactly.
Even. More like a Coke and Mr. Pibb.
Or Kirsch Cola.
Yeah, Cot Cola, I remember he used to sell that.
C&C.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that.
It's like cream soda.
But it all, you know, it also seemed when we went in to talk to Brandon that day that it was also like he, because they were just starting the show, that a distraction like this was not good for them getting off the ground type of thing.
Well, they were getting ready for Kevin James. Right, Al?
I mean, there's just...
That's correct.
Yeah. There's so much bald guy crime these days.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Sal to Tierney, and now the Al to Tiki and Tierney. Yeah, I mean, it's all bald guy crime. It's
what's
really...
What's wrong with you guys?
I mean, what's happening here? I guess there's just so many bald guys at the radio station, it's unavoidable.
We all have anger being bald.
That's where it comes from.
This is a hair world.
Now, did you reach out to anybody on that show other than the tweets that you had about the Kevin James thing?
Well, like Sal, I was trying to bait them into a debate about it, and no one responded to my tweets. So later on, Pete Hoffman, the Hoff, Porno Pete, reached out to me. He goes, and he just wrote, Kevin James! Exclamation point. So I said, whose idea was that? He said, it was my idea, but they liked it. I go, well, why do it on Monday after divisional weekend? And he said, well, that was the only day it was available. Oh, well, then too bad. Then get lost, Kevin James.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you got to say, ah, it's unfortunate. If you really wanted Kevin James on, you got to say, this is not something we could do.
And I said, I even said it there, not to join Team Sal here, but I said, you know, Brandon should know better than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Pete's a newer sports producer, but Brandon should know. You can't put that guy on. You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you say that Pete's a newer sports producer.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
I feel like he's been around forever. Hasn't he been doing, he was working with Steve for years.
Oh, right.
I mean, I feel like he's been here for a long time.
I still know him as Porno Pete from K-Rock, so I don't know.
Sifting through all the pornography.
Yeah. In Al's world, he's only been here a month, because right. That's only when Al's been seeing him every day.
Yeah.
So in Al's reality, he's new.
But he has, I am right about this, right?
At least 5 years.
I think it's got to be longer than that.
But it's still, it always comes down to the host.
Sure. Like, the host could say, hey, this is something we want or something we don't want.
Correct.
So, is this something that you've discussed with our program director, Spike Essing? Because it seems like you're involving yourself in programming decisions.
Well, my problem is there's too many, like, with Twitter and everything, I see too much. And I can't help myself. Like, I get angry. So I see that, like, I didn't have the program on because I'm trying to take a break from so much sports radio, but I see it on Twitter with a beautiful graphic flashing, Kevin James, Kevin James.
Yeah.
I'm like, Kevin James, the hell are we doing? So I couldn't help myself.
You texted it to us.
I texted it to you guys. I barely got a response. I texted Sal. No response.
Yeah, no, I wrote back to you. What do you mean barely response? I wrote back to you that he was on a Zoom call and the audio was even pretty bad.
I tried multiple times on Twitter to get something going. I was not getting any traction.
I mean, do you think that for 1 minute, that text that you sent me yesterday, that I was even remotely interested in it?
No. Well, interested, yes. Firing back something, no. But you probably got a good chuckle out of it.
I did get a catch. I said, why is he... Why are you engrossing yourself
in their show?
You're supposed to be a teammate.
Then I put on Carton and Roberts. They're talking to Jay Glazer in a shower. It sounds like he's in a shower. I'm like, what? I can't get away from this.
You know what I equate this to when you get on these types of things?
Yeah.
It's like when I see my dog eat its own puke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what are you... Why are you doing that?
Right, and then they puke right back up again and go right back into it.
And then I go, that's right. He just can't help
himself.
Can't
help myself, right. So I was like, I almost contemplated unfollowing on social media WFAN.
I think
Carton
that would help
and Roberts.
You. I think that would help you. I think
but then
would.
I also like to feel like I'm always critiquing, which I enjoy doing.
You love a good critique.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
that. But I
want
to debate with people. Like, I want to be able to go down the hallway to Brandon and go, let's debate Kevin James.
So why don't you?
He's interested.
But like, you haven't tried, though.
I think it's a healthy debate.
No, sure. It is. I mean, I think that this, more so Brandon would be willing to debate than the Sal thing. I think the Sal thing he took more personally.
Yeah.
This, I think it's because you didn't knock anything he said. It's not like if you had come on and been like, man, that question that Brandon asked to Kevin James was the dumbest question I ever heard, something like that, then maybe. Your problem is with putting the guest on.
Yeah, and I did write to Spike about guests saying that I feel like we are undervaluing WFAN. We are giving away free promotion to, you know, let's be honest, the C-list celebrity, Kevin James. For him to promote something, like, pay us. Like, we're putting you on. Let's run that in place of... a six-minute commercial break. You pay your 6 minutes. Same with Jay Glazer was selling some book or something.
Yeah, he's got a new book out. Yeah, he's got a new book out.
Why is that? What? And they act like we're doing them the favor. Like Pete said, oh, Kevin James was only available Monday. Well, you're not doing us a favor by coming on. You're going to lose us ratings. Why am I doing you a favor?
Yeah,
the one thing I know from 15 years here. That is, if you put a guest on, almost always it is lower than the rating of not putting a guest on. Sometimes it's even.
Yeah.
It is rarely better than the two hosts talking.
You know,
rarely.
One of the things I heard you saying, we do have to take a break here because this is something else that we've talked about all the time. It's yes. not being late, but we're going to be late, is the putting someone on Zoom for the video views.
Right.
And then diminishing the quality of the radio experience.
Right.
That's something that has driven me nuts over the last couple of months. Because it sounds terrible. And then they do it because you put it up on Twitter. But like, I'm not more inclined to watch a video because I could see someone on a Zoom than if there was a graphic there of their face. Like, I mean, if it's
you're
interesting.
You're also doing it for like 2,000 views versus how many hundreds of thousands of people have the radio on.
I always, this is my biggest thing. You've got your things. My biggest thing is like, we forget that right now, still today, the radio show is the most important thing.
Yes.
There are other things that matter, and maybe one day in a number of years they'll say that digital is more important. But as we sit here today, it's the most important thing, and there's a lot of corners that get cut to satisfy these other open mouths that end up hurting the radio quality.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Digital.
Yeah. Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network and the Odyssey app.
All right. Did you say digital?
Sure. Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.